calling greater than. And so last week, if you missed it, if you didn't know this, we have an app. It's a free app you can download. You just search Village Church AZ, and on there is a Bible. You can give online. You can submit a prayer request. You can contact us, but you can also listen to all of our recorded messages as well via podcast. And so we want to encourage you, if you missed last week, just spend some time. We have a long drive into town. It's the perfect opportunity to just turn on a podcast and kind of catch up with us. So what we talked about last week was the foundation of this series, which is found in Romans chapter 8. And in that passage of scripture, Paul is telling these believers that because of Christ's love for you, you are more than conquerors. Jesus loved you so much that he went to the cross, he died for you, that you could be not just a conqueror, but a more than conqueror, right? And so we looked at that and we talked about what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? Not just someone that has victory here and there, but even above and beyond what that even means. And so we talked about raising our perspective above the battle right in front of us. Right? Sometimes the battle going on right in front of us, the thing that we're struggling with in this moment, seems to consume our energy and our time and our capacity. But Jesus is saying, no, because of my love, you are now enabled to look up to a greater vision, a greater perspective than what you can actually see right in front of you. And it was incredible to see that God is our defender, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? Is that truth? I mean, an incredible truth. There. We talked about Jesus being an open-handed Savior. We have this generous God who just, he gave his son. Why would he not give us all things? And we talked about the idea that Jesus is interceding for us, an interceding Savior. That he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you on even the things that you don't know. So there's a greater vision over your life than what you can see right in front of you. I'm just going to remind us of this passage at the end of Romans 8. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to remind us because we're not going to spend too much time there this morning. But in there, at the end, it says this incredible thing. It says in 38, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation," do you hear that? "Nor anything else, nothing, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Amen? So if that's true, guys, then we can put all our eggs in this basket, that we are more than conquerors. And today we're going to focus on, throughout this, the couple weeks, we're not going to go in order from what that passage says, but today we're going to talk about the present nor the future, that part of it. How is it that we can rise above, have a greater vision over the present or the future?
Yeah. So today we're going to be reading out of Mark, the book of Mark, I believe chapter 5, starting at verse 35, and we're going to go all the way to 43 if you want to turn in your Bibles there. Also, if you want to catch up, if you missed the sermon last week, you can check out our podcast, which is on our app or our website, or you can find it in one of your podcast listening places, whatever you go to on your phones. Okay, so here we go. At verse 35 here, "While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. 'Your daughter is dead,' they said. 'Why bother the teacher anymore?' Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, 'Don't be afraid, just believe.' He didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, 'Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep.' But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kum,' which means 'little girl' or 'little lamb, I say to you, get up.' Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat." So what we want to unpack today, this entire chapter is really part of this. We didn't want to read the first section, but really this starts with the disciples are kind of moving through the region with Jesus, right? And then there's this encounter where Jairus, the synagogue leader, runs up to Jesus and says, "Hey, my daughter is sick. I need you. I've heard about what you can do. Would you please come and take care of my daughter?" And so they start making their way there, and they're interrupted by all these crowds and this amazing encounter with the woman with the blood issue where she reaches out and touches Jesus' cloak. That happens in this whole moment, right? And so you can imagine Jairus was probably pretty freaked out here the whole time, right? And he's like, okay, we have an answer. Okay, Jesus is here. He can take care of my daughter. Imagine if your daughter is deathly ill, right? And you know that somebody can take care of this, right? You're going to run to that person. Please, 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 would you come? And Jesus is making his way through, and then he has to stop, and he like heals someone else and like has this amazing encounter with this other person. Everybody's still astonished. He's just kind of, you know, I'm sure Jairus was freaking out, like, Jesus, come on, please. Like, you just come on. Like, we don't have any time here, man. Like, you have no idea what's going on. You clearly are not seeing what I'm seeing, right? You clearly don't see the urgency that I see. But what's so amazing is that Jesus, knowing that he's greater than, knowing that he can overcome anything because of the power that resides with him being the Son of God, he knows time is not a factor in these things. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth that we want to pull out of this passage, is that it is never too late for Jesus.
Amen.
It is never too late for Jesus. The question that we want to ask today, in understanding, you know, like, many of us have been in that position, that Jairus position of, come on, God, come on, Jesus, like, what is going on here? Like, you're taking your sweet time, like, and I got an emergency that I think there's a time stamp on, right? Like, if you don't show up by this date, it's going to be a problem, and I don't think you're really tracking with me. You know, many of us have been in that position. Maybe you're in that position today. And you feel this urgency behind a situation in your life, and you feel like Jesus is maybe dragging his feet. But if it's never too late for Jesus, and the question that we want to bring out today is that, what does Jesus want us to remember when it feels like it's too late? What does Jesus, from this passage, want to teach each of us about what we need to remember when it feels like it's too late?
Yeah, how much of our anxiety and our stress comes from the timeline that we think should happen, right? And just waiting on Jesus for those things. And so we're going to look at this today and answer that question. The first thing we see that Jesus wants us to know, I think we can pull out of this passage, is that Jesus is never bothered by us. Jesus is never bothered by us. So you picture Jesus, he's mid-sentence with this woman. It's an incredible miracle, the woman with the blood issue. He's restoring her socially and spiritually and physically. And in the middle of that, you know, I've pictured Jairus standing to the side, just like, okay, come on. And then someone, a messenger comes and, you know, kind of leans into Jairus and says, you know, I'm sorry, your daughter has died. And then he says this interesting thing, why bother the teacher anymore? Like this, let's go home, what's done is done, you need to be back at home. There's a lot going on and you need to come be with your family, right? And I know, picture how loud this was. It wasn't just Jesus and the woman, it says there were crowds of people. She had to push her way through to get to Jesus, right? And the disciples were even amazed because he knew that she had touched the hem of his robe, and they're like, there's people pressing in on you at every side. So this is not a quiet moment. And mid-sentence, Jesus, it's almost like he stops and he looks at Jairus and says, you know, don't worry, right? It's like he hears it. And so when I looked that up, the stop bothering him, or that Greek word, what it means is like stop vexing, stop annoying, stop harassing, stop troubling the Savior. The time has passed. The moment is final. It's over. Just drop it. But what we know, because we know the outcome of this, is that Jesus was far from bothered, right? He was far from annoyed or harassed. He wasn't like me with my kids where I'm like, I can't talk to you right now because I'm talking to this person, right? The mom, mommy, mom, right? And I'm like, you are harassing me, right? Thank God that the Savior has more capacity than we do as human beings. He is never bothered by us. In fact, we are never interrupting him. We're never interrupting him with our requests to come to him. You know, his whole desire is to have us close to him, in close communication. His whole desire is that we would rely on him for the moment-to-moment grace that we need, right? He wants to show himself as Savior to us. If we are going to see that more than conqueror mentality take form in our lives, we have to have a firm grasp on the fact of this moment, that Jesus right here, right now, is handling things far on the other side of the world, but he's also right here, ready to hear from you, not bothered by you, actively listening, making eye contact, like, tell me what you need. You know, I don't know about you, but there was a point where, I don't know if it was in Christian circles or whatever, that I kind of felt that it was not, you know, good to always be asking things of Jesus, right? Like, oh, that's kind of selfish, right? I should be praying for other people. Have you ever heard that or felt that way in Christian circles? And what I see here is that that's not true. Yes, we should be interceding for other people, but Jesus is like, come to me, tell me, what do you need? We established that last week. He's ready to intercede for you. He's never, ever annoyed, bothered, or you can't interrupt him. He loves you so much.
Yeah. I think it's difficult for us, kind of like, you know how it's difficult to kind of grasp the love of God because there's nothing really like it in our day-to-day? I think this is another one of those examples that it's really hard to kind of have an example of real life where you're not bothered by something or somebody isn't bothered by you, right? I can't think of any situation where somebody is completely cool all the time to just be, you know, inundated with questions or whatever. Like, no parent is always great with that. You know, no, nobody is, you know? And it, unfortunately, the bummer about that is that because, like, our society kind of operates in that way, the last several decades, there's increasing numbers, if you look at the stats, like record numbers of people reporting deep loneliness in their lives. Deep-seated loneliness in their lives. The average person today claims to have less than two people they feel they can confide in. It doesn't mean that they do. It's just when polled, most people say, I might have two people I think I could confide in if I needed to. And we see this in action, like with suicide at this pandemic rate right now, right? It's horrendous what's happening. And why do we think that is? There's this mass loneliness. I think we have this idea that friendships aren't what they used to be, or we have this idea of what friendship and being close to someone is, but unfortunately we have these skewed visions of it because we think we're going to bother somebody. And I see this all the time. Like, I hear a lot of people talking about how, like, they don't like to talk on the phone. Like, I don't like talking on the phone. I don't like dealing with that, right? But that's like, you're feeling you don't want to be bothered by somebody. You don't want to bother to hear the tone in their voice. Anybody can text someone and say, how you doing? And they can respond, I'm fine. But it's a different thing when they say, I think I'm fine, over the phone. There's these emotional trigger moments that in relationships we can say, it doesn't sound like you're fine. But on a text, it's like, okay, great. Here's an emoji for you. Like, that's what our relationships are today. So many of us kind of operate in that way. And I'm not saying that that's like always horrendous, like that you always have to answer the call. I get like 48 calls a day from like numbers I have no idea who it is because it's scammers. And like, the IRS has your name and information. If you don't call this number back, like, really? I'm getting sued left and right by the IRS. It's crazy. Like, you know, and like, but because of all that kind of stuff, like, we have this, I don't want to be bothered by the phone, because half the time it's a negative experience, right? We don't want to bother people. We don't want to be bothered by them. Busyness is worn as this badge of pride. We've talked a lot about that, especially in that last series we did. And we can, how can we possibly prioritize meaningful relationships in our lives when we mostly feel that no one prioritizes us in their lives? Because we feel like they're bothered by me and I'm kind of bothered by them. So how can we possibly prioritize meaningful relationships? How can we possibly grasp the fact that Jesus prioritizes us in his relationship with us?
Yeah.
He prioritizes that time. And we place that bothered by mentality on Jesus. I don't want to bother Jesus. I'm fine. I'll meet with him another time. You know, it's okay. I'll deal with it. When we know, so often, we know that the answer is just to go talk to Jesus. With whatever situation we're facing, whatever, you know, issue we're dealing with, whatever, you know, if you're having a hard day, the answer is always Jesus. But for some reason, we have a hard time convincing ourselves to go and meet with him because we don't want to bother him. Mm-hmm. You need to hear today that Jesus is giddy to meet with you. He's giddy. He cannot wait. It's like a, you know, a golden retriever when the owner gets home. That's literally how I picture it a lot of times. It's like, finally you're here. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Like, I cannot wait to tell you all the things I've been wanting to tell you. Oh my goodness, I get to see your face and I get to be with you and you're going to spend time with me. Jesus is giddy. He cannot wait. He is just chomping at the bit, moment by moment, to see us with him because he has so much for us. Yeah. And yet we believe this lie, right? So often, I don't want to bother Jesus. He is never, ever bothered. Never once does he say, hold on a second, I'm in the middle of something. I do that with my kids all the time. And when we wrote this, we were both so like devastatedly convicted by that, right? Like, hold on a second. Dad, I want to show you something. Hold on a second. Hold on a second, I need to finish this text. Hold on a second, I'm doing something. Hold on a second, over and over and over again. I think if my kids like had to write a list of what are the things that your dad says, like that might be one of them. And that's a bummer. Mm. Because you know what, for them, I represent in a lot of ways Jesus to them. Their relationship with me is how they view their relationship with Jesus. And I'm never going to be Jesus, right, to them. I'm always going to fall short. And my job is to make sure that they know the real Jesus, right? But it's still just a natural thing. You know, our experience with our fathers, you know, is how we view God so often. He never says, hold on a second, I'm in the middle of something. Jesus doesn't have a cell phone. I'm so thankful for that, right? He does not have a cell phone. He's not going to throw you an emoji to make you feel better, right? He isn't distracted by anything. He wants to look in your face. He wants to sit with you right across from you. And he wants to tell you how much he loves you. He just wants you. He's never, ever bothered. Can you own that today? Can you own that fact that Jesus is not bothered by you? I want you to say, Jesus isn't bothered by me. Do you believe that? Really? I hope that you can start seeing Jesus as someone that is desperate 24/7 to meet with you.
Yeah, we're tempted in those moments where our timeline starts to cut close, right? Like, oh my gosh. Or even it feels like Jesus missed a moment. Something happened. It's like, where were you? How that happened? We're tempted to kind of turn our own way, take it into our own hands. But I want to reiterate, do you feel like a bother to Jesus? Because if you didn't feel like a bother, you would keep pressing. You would call him out on his love for you. You said you loved me, right? So I'm coming before you, and you're never going to give up on me. You're always there for me. I'm never alone. So I will not stop coming into your presence, pressing you. Jesus is not stressed by that. He's not intimidated by it. He's not angry at us when we're like, wait a second, I need to know that you're here. He loves the opportunity to demonstrate his presence and his love for you. Second question here, are you bothered by Jesus? Right? If Jesus is never bothered by you, are you bothered by him? Maybe he's been calling and you're shooting up a text, right? You're like, I'll get back to you on that. Trying to keep my distance. Do you withhold yourself from Jesus or do you take it into your own hands? Because he never withholds from you. Amen?
Amen. Second point today is that our role is to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Guys, we're going to say this pretty much every sermon, I think. We talked about that. It's so important, right? I still forget it, though. We still forget that either God is who he says he is or he isn't. And I get to operate one way or the other. I don't get to straddle a line that sometimes he's this way and sometimes he's that. Every moment, I have to choose to believe that Jesus is who he says he is to me. And that is what he's begging us here, right? And I love this. In verse 36, it says, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. And I love that it actually said, it's like there's this all this commotion going on. And I love the thought of just Jesus kind of reaching over and putting his hand on Jairus' shoulder and saying, hey, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I know they're all freaking out, but do not worry about it. Do not be afraid, just believe. See, Jesus isn't interested in silencing the noise in your life that's trying to steal your attention away from him. He wants to look you in the eyes and he wants to tell you who he is. If he only spends his time dealing with all the other distractions in your life, imagine how busy he'd be, right? But Jesus doesn't want to go around trying to silence all the noise in your life. He wants you to listen to him and block the noise out yourself. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to look you in the face, grab you in the face and say, stop looking around at all this other stuff. Stop freaking out. Calm down. Mm-hmm. Calm down. Take some deep breaths. It's going to be okay. Do not be afraid. Just believe. Mm-hmm. He wants to show you what he's capable of in your life. But the thing is that fear is what keeps us from allowing Jesus to do his thing because we've already assumed that all is lost. So often in these time-constrained moments, right, we just assume it's over. It is what it is. I'll just admit defeat and I'll just kind of go on with my life and hope that next time things will be different. But Jesus is telling us, do not listen to the voices around you. Do not listen to the things that this world is trying to tell you that it's over. I am the only one that gets to say when it's over and tell you what, it's never over for me.
Amen.
It is never, ever over for Jesus. Here's the thing, if Jesus can overcome death, what do you have to fear? What do we have to fear today? If Jesus can raise a little girl from the dead, if he can raise himself from the dead, your problem is not too big for him, ever.
Yeah, Jesus is giving us a choice here. He's saying, don't be afraid, comma, just believe. So you have a choice here, right? It's either fear or faith is what he's saying, fear or faith. And I'll tell you, fear doesn't always feel like a choice, right? It kind of feels like it just creeps in, it's just part of us, and it's like, what's happening? I wouldn't choose that if I had to, but I really believe that Jesus is saying, you're more than a conqueror. You have a choice over fear, and the answer to that is demonstrating belief, faith in me. You know, when I was 18 years old on my birthday, I went skydiving, okay? It was one of Matt and my first dates, and I think Matt was trying to impress me. And was like, yeah, I'll do that. But then really he was freaking out. But it was something I really wanted to do. And so we went in and I was super excited about it. Kyle, my friend is here today. He was there with us. And I remember I'm kind of methodical. So I'm like, we're going to go in. We're going to sign the waivers. We're going to watch the video. Surely they're going to give us some training, all this. So we walk in and they're like, it's going to be like probably 2 hours until you're ready. So we're like, okay. I'm like, that's good. That gives me just enough time to wrap my mind around this. So I hadn't even finished filling out the waiver, and all of a sudden, all these guys in masks and suits or whatever come in, they're like, we're going. And I'm like, I didn't even watch the training video. What are we doing? And we're just going, because that's what you do, right? You don't speak up. You're like, surely you're the professional. So we go, and we're suiting up, and I have no idea what is going on. They put us in a plane. The door's wide open. We're all just sitting loose in a plane. I come to find out later there's been a number of deaths at the parachute center in Lodi, California. But so we go up, and I just remember looking. It's so loud in there. And looking out the window, and the cars and everything are just getting smaller and smaller. And we're just way above. And I'm like, we are jumping out of this airplane. Like, what? There is no way to go back. This is the way out. They're not going to let me go back down. These guys won't even let me sign the waiver. Like, they're not concerned about my feelings, okay? And I remember Matt went first. He was the first one out. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever been skydiving, but he jumped out and it's like, whoom, sucked under the plane. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, this is happening. We're about to jump out of this airplane. And the fear and the anxiety and the sweating and all of it is rising. You know, you're just like, this, I can't believe this, I can't believe it. And there was a moment though, guys, where you're standing on the edge of that door and you're just looking at the ground. And I just had to resolve, I'll never forget it. I'm like, I'm doing this. I'm doing it. It's happening. Get your mind wrapped around it. No more, right? And we went out, and it ended up being like such an amazing experience. It was incredible. And I have funny stories about it I can tell you later. But I'll tell you what. There's a point in life, right, where it feels like the anxiety is mounting and the stress, and you're looking around, and you're like, oh my gosh, the timeline is increasing, and, you know, she's sick, and oh, I need you to come, and now I'm hearing that she's dead, that it's final. There's a stamp in it, like it's over. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. And if we are going to be more than conquerors, we got to have that moment. We're standing on the edge of the airplane, guys, and we resolve, this is happening. I'm going, and Jesus is who he says he is. I'm not going to take the ride down freaking out in my life. It's a choice that you have. I want you to hear me. It's a choice that you have. Amen? Amen. We're not just slaves to fear, slaves to cycle of anxiety. We're not just slaves to our own human reaction. It is a choice that we have to look in the eyes of our Savior, who's never bothered by us, and say, I'm not going to be afraid. I believe you are who you say you are. And sometimes, guys, just to be candid, I say, you better be who you say you are. Have you ever been there with Jesus? I mean, my friend and I always joke, we're like, you better be real. Have you ever just had that, like, that moment? I mean, I'm a pastor, and I have those moments of like, you know, what are we doing? This better be real. This is my life I'm talking about. This is my kids. This is my marriage. This is my finances, my well-being. This is, you know, everything that I have lived for. Yes, I will choose faith over fear. I believe you are who you say you are. Praise God that it's so simple. I didn't say it's easy, but it's simple. It's a simple choice. It's a simple, you know what, today when I wake up, I'm not going to be afraid of even the finality of what the world says. I mean, death is not too far gone for Jesus. So even if someone comes with news of something terrible like that, Jesus still is who he says he is. Our role in all of this is to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. In Jesus, we are empowered to conquer fear. That is a word for someone in here that's afraid this morning. In Jesus, we are empowered to conquer, not cope with it. Amen? The power in us because of Jesus is greater than our own thought cycles and our own logic. We can have a greater than vision that looks above the battle right here and right now because of Jesus' love for us.
Yeah, amen. So what are you afraid of today? What fear is in your life right now that you need to choose to believe that Jesus is greater than? Fear is always attached to control in our lives, and so you can look at it that way. What are you desperately trying to control in your life today that you need to trust Jesus about, that you need to surrender to Jesus? Is it time to say, I cannot do this anymore? I'm so tired of being afraid of this. I'm so tired of trying to control it with my own thoughts and actions and will. I'm tired of doing that. So Jesus, today, I'm choosing to surrender that thing over to you, to hand it over to you and be done worrying about it, to be done being afraid about it, because I can't control it. Only you can do something about that, Jesus. Mm-hmm. You have to ask yourself, is Jesus bigger than whatever you're afraid of? And whatever your answer is your choice. But if you don't think he's greater than whatever you're facing, you need to know Jesus better. Jesus is greater than anything you're facing. Anything. Imagine what Jairus would say today if he were standing up here. If you came up here and you said, man, I'm just facing this issue in my life. I'm afraid of you know, what's going to happen next. Like, I don't know, you know, if I'm going to be able to find that job. I don't know about how we're going to get through this financial situation. I don't know how we're going to deal with this news that we got from the doctors or whatever. What do you think Jairus would say? Say, let me tell you about Jesus, is what he'd say. You got nothing to worry about, buddy. Let me tell you what he did for me. Yeah. My little girl's here today, alive and well because of Jesus, because he can overcome anything that you are facing. Today, you need to choose to let go of your fear and to take trust in both hands, right? Give it to Jesus and say, I trust you truly. I trust you. I surrender this thing in front of me. I'm giving it to you. I'm done. He's the only one that can do anything about it, but it's your choice.
Yeah, third thing. Jesus wants us to know that he is greater than the commotion. Okay, and scripture actually uses that word commotion. So you picture, you know, Jesus said, don't be afraid, just believe. And they start making their way back to Jairus' house. You can imagine what Jairus is feeling, right? And then they walk in and everyone is just wailing. This little girl just died. Okay, so the family is mourning and they're wailing and there's all this going on. And I picture Jairus just like, oh my gosh, I'm sick. Feeling just so sick to his stomach about how this has happened. And then Jesus says this amazing thing. He looks at all of them and he says, it's almost like this candid, like, why all this commotion? And isn't Jesus funny like that? Don't you remember the disciples are on the boat and they're all freaking out, they're going to die? And he's like, I'm sleeping, shh. You know, and he gets up, he's like, peace be still. Like, you know, it's nothing for him. Why are you guys all freaking out? It's kind of like the tone that I feel like he hears it. He says it in. That's how I hear it, at least. Why all this commotion? And then it says he put them out. And that word, that the put them out, is the same authority in which he cast out demons in his ministry. So he put them out in authority. Shush, get out of here. He silenced the commotion. And then just with mom and dad there, he took her hand, he told her to get up, and she was raised from the dead. And isn't it funny that after every time you raise someone from the dead, he says, get them something to eat, right? It's incredible. We're laughing about this woman who told a story about these people that were praying for raising someone from the dead, and they brought Kentucky Fried Chicken. And she was like, why did you bring that? Well, it's his favorite food. Don't you know Jesus always says, give them something to eat when they wake up. I just love that story so much. But Jesus is greater than the commotion. He's not in this conversation. I just picture him marching to his own tune, his own purpose, his own, you know, trajectory. Like, I'm going up to the bedroom to raise this girl from the dead. I know that's going to happen. Why? Shh. Put them out. Be quiet. No more of the chaos. Jesus is greater than that conversation, that commotion that's happening in your life. I don't know. There's some commotion in my life this week. There's just a lot of just like conversation and noise and loud in my life this week. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing. At the end of all of it, it all worked out. It was totally fine. But I realized Jesus is never down in the muck, in the mire, having this conversation. He's always above having a greater one. Right? And if we're going to be more than conquerors, he's inviting us to that conversation that he's having. Get out of the commotion of your life and join me up here in the more than conqueror territory, because I've got a plan for this situation for your life.
Yeah. You know, we have to, as Christians, overcome this herd mentality that we find ourselves in sometimes, that we're just going to go in whatever direction everybody else is because that's what they're doing. Right? Well, the world is freaking out about this, so I better freak out about that too. Right? My friends are worried about this, so I better worry about that as well. Right? My parents are concerned about the choices that I'm making, so I better be concerned about that as well. My parents don't think I should be going to church. They don't think I should be doing this or that or whatever. My friends, my relatives, my whatever. Right? We hear that all the time. And we cannot get caught up in this herd mentality. We have to know the voice of Jesus above the voice of all the commotion. That's our jobs as Christians. Christian means little Christ, right? It's not just a belief system. It's us. We're being little Jesuses everywhere we go. That's our jobs. And so if you are supposed to represent Jesus, you better know what he's saying. You better know his heart. You better know what he's capable of. We better represent that to this world so that when the commotion starts, we can be the ones that says, clearly, you don't know Jesus. Let me tell you why I'm not freaking out right now. Let me tell you why I'm not afraid. Let me tell you why this is okay, even though it does not make sense on paper. There's been so many decisions in my life for Jesus that made zero sense on paper, to my friends, to my family, moving for Jesus, coming out here planting churches, whatever it is, right? People are like, you are crazy. Why are you doing that? Doesn't make any sense. Can't you just do that here? Can't you just do that where it's more comfortable, where you're still around family? Why? Fear. Right? Every statement that's made. And we can choose to go along with that and say, you know what? That makes sense. That makes good, solid sense. I think I'm just going to listen to that. But the thing is that we can't ever put the voice of Jesus away in our lives. We can't ever put that away. He's going to keep pushing, right? His gifts and his call are irrevocable. Nothing we can do. We can't say, take it back. He doesn't take it back. He's going to keep pushing. You can say no, but I'll tell you, oftentimes that no comes from the voices around us, not from the voice of Jesus himself. Yeah. Jesus is always above the commotion. That's such an important thing for us to understand today. No matter what your friends and relatives are telling you about whatever situation you're in, God is greater than it. No matter what the doctors say, no matter what your neighbors think, no matter what the news is telling you, no matter what, God is greater. Jesus proves that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Time and time again in Scripture. And Scripture even says, I think it's the book of John towards the end where it says, and we could have filled so many more manuscripts filled with the miracles of Jesus. We don't even know a fraction of what Jesus really did on this earth. But I hope that we can write our own stories of what he's doing in us, what he's doing in those around us, so that we can prove to others, Jesus is greater. Don't listen to all the noise. Jesus is who he says he is. Amen. What is the commotion in your life right now that is distracting you from listening to Jesus? What influences do you maybe need to put some plugs in your ears about? What voices, what situations in your life are telling you, you should not do that? That doesn't make any sense. What Jesus is telling you is crazy. You should be freaked out. You should be worrying. You should be all these things, right? What is that in your life that you need to put a stop to today? You need to look at Jesus and say, I'm only going to listen to you. I will trust you because I know you are who you say that you are. He is greater than anything that we are ever going to face. Do you own that today? Do you own that today? Yes. I hope so.
We're going to have the worship team come forward, and we build this time into our service for you to respond to God. And like Cody said in the beginning, we really felt like the Spirit wanted this to come out to. And of course, we always feel like that when we preach, but there's something special about this series. There are people in our church that are facing some heavy stuff. There's an emptiness or a heaviness about what's going on. And so we want to give you the opportunity to meet with God, to respond to him. All right, these are not just, you know, fun words. This is actual scripture going forth. And the Bible says it doesn't return void. When it goes out, it finds a place, it fills up, it speaks to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just going to have you bow your heads really quickly. And I want to give you an opportunity to have a moment with God today. And so I'm going to ask some questions. And if this is you, would you just raise your hand? You know, some people walked in here today with maybe a doubt that Jesus might not be who he says he is. And when you hear the words, it's never too late for Jesus. It's never too late for him. Even death, he raised Jairus' 12-year-old daughter from the dead. And we can rely on scripture. If it could have been, people were trying to disprove his ministry and they were unable to. They were unable to disprove it. So we know this happened. There were witnesses all around to this. If Jesus can overcome death, then it's never too late for Jesus. Amen. So if you are in here today and you realize, you know, you're in a situation, you're in a place where maybe you made some choices that have now led you to feel like you're just in a deep hole, or maybe you're just struggling. I just sense that there's some people that need to be reminded that Jesus can dig you out of any hole that you dug yourself or fell into or someone dug for you. And so if you hear that, it's never too late for Jesus. And you know that truth is for you today. Would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. Let your hope increase in this moment. You know, Jesus is never bothered by us. If you've been walking around, even with a hint of wondering if Jesus is annoyed at you, bothered by you, sick of you, I'll tell you what, even when you're sick of yourself, Jesus is never sick of you, amen? And you realize today, you know what, I've been walking around thinking he's bothered by me. And I want to get all of those lies out today and take on the truth. He wants me 100%. Anything that I ask, he can intercede. Even if I ask for something that he knows, no, you don't need that, you need this, he still wants to hear me. Would you just raise your hand if that truth is for you today? Awesome. Awesome. If you've been struggling to believe Jesus is who he says he is, and your hope is increasing today, and you're realizing, you know what, he is. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to choose faith over fear. Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. Jesus is greater than the commotion. He's greater than it. And if you've been stuck with the noise and the stress of your situations around you, you just want to say, you know what? No more, Jesus. I'm raising my attention above the commotion today where you're having a conversation. Would you just raise your hand if that's for you? Awesome. Hands up all over the place. The Holy Spirit is here. He's meeting with us. He's descended on us. You know, we have the awesome privilege. We're planting a church in Gladden Farms. That's happening. It's exciting. Our church is the mother church of that. It's all in the works. And we have that church name is Resurrection Life, and we have their team here today. We have part of their team. And so if you're part of their team, would you just stand up? Okay, so these ones here moved their lives from Sacramento, California to plant this church in Gladden Farms, okay? And so they have had that moment where they're standing on the edge of the airplane and they've resolved, we're going. Faith over fear. And so they have something to impart to you today. Some of them are standing here today unemployed with two mortgages, okay? So like the faith level that these are carrying, they want to impart to you today. And honestly, I really feel like they need to impart it to you today. So if you're struggling, if you raised your hand, you're struggling with fear, you're struggling to trust that Jesus is who he says he is, you're struggling with that truth that it's never too late, even death, never too late. Jesus is in the resurrecting business. These guys are going to be available to pray for you. I hope that you will take the opportunity. All right, so you guys can go to the side, just kind of stand on the side here. So here's the deal. You don't have to go up and spill your life story. It can be simple. You can go up and say, you know what, that more than a conqueror, I need you to impart that. I just want you to impart faith to me. They're just going to pray for you. All right, so I hope that you will take action today. Don't just sit there. Don't be embarrassed or shy. Just do it. All right, they're a safe place. You can share as much or as little as you'd like. But we're going to go into worship, and this is just that perfect opportunity to raise our attention to the conversation that Jesus is having, the more than conqueror mentality above the battle that we're facing right here. This is the opportunity to get filled up, to get truth in your heart and your mind, to maybe make a decision, no more fear. Faith is where I'm operating from now on. I'm going to pray for us as we go into this time. God, thank you so much that you are who you say you are. Father, you are. I've known you my entire adult life and even as a child, and God, your word has never failed me. There are people in here that have known you longer than that, and they can confidently say, no, he is who he says he is. He's come through every time. He always has what I need. He resurrects things that I thought were gone, that were lost, that were ruined. He brings peace in the midst of situations that are hard. He silences the noise. He gives me victory over fear. God, there are people in here that's their story. So Father, I pray, would you move in this place, God? Would you, if there's anything in us that feels weird about going to get prayer this morning, Lord, we just put that away, Lord. There's no time for that, God. You have something for us and we want it today. Meet with us now, God. We give you our focus and our attention. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.